Monday Mile podcast. Today we're in central London, so do excuse the noise and traffic toots. But today's guest is a rocking one. I think it's fair to say she is the strongest person I know. She deadlifted me in our filming for BBC's Question of Sport. The word inspiration is often bandied around lightly, but today I will be referencing the term, and it's not to be taken lightly. Emily Campbell is Britain's most successful weightlifter. She stamped her mark in the history books as the winner of Team GB's first ever medal in the women's weightlifting in Tokyo 2020. She's our Olympic silver medalist and the current European champion. Emily, welcome to Monday Mile.
Thanks for having me.
Northern Lass.
Yes.
And we're lucky to have caught you right in central London, literally, Covent Garden.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'm down for a bit of appearance stuff, talking on a few panels and stuff and whatever, and I've got physio, so yeah, I don't really like coming to the south. The air's a bit different down here, but I come down now and again.
The air and the traffic and the pollution, but you know what? Yeah. We've got the people and the energy.
Yeah, do you know
so
what?
We'll
I will give you
it.
That.
We'll
I will
ride
give you that.
That. Now, this podcast is called Monday Mile. As a weightlifter, I can't imagine you are much of a walker.
No, absolutely not. And I literally get shouted at in the team for walking the slowest and pulling everybody down when they go for team walks on international. So I just don't join anymore because
team
I get abused.
Walks? Yeah. That's the thing, is it?
Yeah, I think when everyone's like, especially when the guys are cutting weight and stuff and need to get some steps in and whatever, they're always like, come on. And I'm like, nah, I'll just come and sit in the sauna with you instead. I like the warmth and I like not doing anything.
That's the vibe. You know what? I'm going to do that tonight because it's absolutely freezing. I'll make a promise to you. We're going to walk slow.
Okay, that's nice. You've been kind to me.
Let's go. Take it back to the start. How did you get into weightlifting?
So I was at university and I actually was involved in athletics quite heavily. I threw the hammer and the shot and essentially just wanted to get stronger for that. And someone said, if you do Olympic weightlifting movements, help you get stronger for that. Started doing that and everyone was like, mate, you should sack off shot and be a weightlifter. Obviously, I was 21 at the time, so I thought everyone was being bonkers.
Yeah.
But I gave it a go. I did both sports for 1 year in 2016, which was hectic. And then British Weightlifting sat me down and was like, we really think you could be like a top weightlifter, but you've got to give all your time to weightlifting. And I did. And luckily it paid off.
Freaking awesome. So cool. So what does a typical day of training look like for a weightlifter? I'm presuming there's minimal walking involved.
Absolutely, yeah. Drive to the gym, park right outside, walk in. But literally everything is gym-based for us pretty much. So I do 5 days in the gym, and it's obviously a combination of snatch exercises, clean and jerk exercises, back squats, deadlifts, pulls, and then we do like bodybuilding kind of stuff as well. That's all obviously in with keeping everything as strong as possible, because as a weightlifter, you've got to be strong, you've got to be fast, you've got to be powerful, you've got to be flexible, you've got to be mobile, you've got to be all. There's no cutting corners or anything. And then one day a week to help with that kind of extra stuff, I do reformer Pilates.
That
is hard. People think that's easy, but it is so hard. But that's really good at, like, you know, developing that extra glute strength and the core and stretching and all that kind of stuff. So that's really cool. So I do that on like the off day, and then I have one day where I rest and just literally enjoy the fruits of not doing anything and feel how much my body aches.
I can imagine. So that's 5 days of heavy, heavy lifting. What's your sort of one rep range max? Was that European?
Commies. I actually did personal best, yeah. So my best snatch was 124 kilos, best clean and jerk 162, and then I actually beat my clean and jerk in the World Championships later on that year, and I did 165 kilos at the World Championships. So yeah, I'm getting ever closer to that magic 170 mark, which I don't think any female for a long, long time has done, especially never in Britain, so that's pretty cool.
Like, you say those weights so casually, like 165, 170. For perspective to our listeners, that is not far off 3 times the weight of a teenager or an adult, a small adult.
Yeah.
That's like my mum.
Yeah, basically.
You're flinging her 3 times above your head.
Yeah, it's funny that you say it like that, yeah. I think they said my snatch is equivalent to a baby elephant when it's born or something like that. So that's pretty cool.
That's absurd. So when it comes to training, closely do you operate to your optimal performance?
Of course. So we do like a strength block, and that's essentially where you get strong, like you build your foundations, and we work like higher repetitions, but then we work around the 80% mark, so 80% of one rep max. So I work off projected one rep max, because what's the point in working off the ones you've already done? You've done it. You need to get stronger for the other ones. So I work off like 130 snatching and 170 clean and jerk, and then I work 80% of that and do reps on that. And then as we get closer to competition, you drop the repetitions down, and then you increase up to around that 90-95% mark to get ready for competition. So that's the easiest way to like kind of describe how we do it.
So operating at that 80% on that day off, your body must just be broken, because now, being a retired athlete,
living your best life.
When I do a 60 kg squat, you're gonna laugh, don't you? My body's in pieces the next day.
Yeah. I think you kind of get to a point where your body almost goes numb. No, because we do it repeatedly every single day, week on week, and then you'll just get them sessions, the odd sessions where you know you've pushed it that little bit, and then you'll go, oh, I'm really like domsy today, but like you get like a almost like a baseline of doms, and then like it kind of adds to it when you've really really pushed yourself. But yeah, it's you kind of just get used to it. You literally get used to it.
So would you say your body's in a position where you're just comfortable being in pain?
Yeah, I actually don't know what it's like to not be in pain. Like, you know, sitting on the toilet, like, if I haven't got something to hold on to get me down there, I'm not getting down there. I don't have the luxury of just, like, sitting on the toilet. No, God, I'd love to do that. And things like that. And you have to lower yourself down for everything. But, yeah, to me, it's funny saying it out loud because it's just normal life. It's just literally everything I do every day, so I don't even think about it.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that it's painful to sit on a toilet. That just showcases the physicality you put your body through.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is. That's the reality of it, because it's literally every session is like, you know, when you obviously get your boys moaning, oh, it's leg day. Like, every day is leg day for us. Like, literally, there's not a movement in weightlifting that you don't use your legs.
So explain the movements, because for those people that don't know anything about weightlifting, myself included, what's the format like? Because to me, I'm imagining you're just doing one giant lift, but I know there's a lot of different components.
Yeah, exactly. So you do, obviously, snatch is the one where it's the wide grip. You take it from the floor and put it straight above your head.
Yeah.
But obviously, that can be broken down. So you can go either just from above the knees, or you obviously go from the floor. You can like do things like deficits. So you can stand on board so that it makes the pull longer. You can pause at the knee, which obviously makes it harder, because that's literally, this position here is like the worst position in weightlifting. It like hurts like nobody's business.
And why is that?
Because of the way that your hamstrings are on full stretch, and you're basically essentially letting the bar hang away from you, because you've got to let the bar come behind you to then get that power to be able to get underneath it. So doing all of that, there's all the ways to break it down. You can do exactly the same with a clean. So you could break all the clean down. You can do exercises like clean front squat jerk. So you do a clean, then you do a front squat, and then you stick a jerk on the end. So that's like, there's just so many different ways of doing it. Then you can do power variations of each lift. So that means you catch it above 90 degrees instead of going right down into the bottom position. So you tend to do them a little bit lighter and work on speed and power. And then obviously you could do, we separate it. So we like to work on the jerk separate from the clean. So that means you'll go off blocks or off racks and just do the jerk component on its own. So yeah, there's like so many different variations you can do to get yourself stronger, that yeah, you end up doing like 4 exercises a session, and then you'll do your bodybuilding and stuff on top. So then you'll do like things like back hypers or single leg stuff. So it's like Bulgarian split squats, single leg lunges, like everything's just like added on. So it's a lot.
Everything you can imagine.
Yeah, basically.
But then when you're actually competing, what components are you judged on? And then there's different weight categories as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So you do snatch and clean and jerk. So you get 3 attempts at snatch, 3 attempts at clean and jerk, take your best, add them together, get a total, and that's how everyone's ranked. And then there's 10 weight categories for men, 10 for women. Women start at 45 kilos and end at 87 plus, and then the men start at 56 kilos and end at 109 plus. So literally, there's a weight class for every single person on the planet. You will fit into something.
So somebody like myself, would I maybe have to shrink down to fit into a category?
again, it depends. So like, I'm gonna make a guesstimation that you're around 55 kilos, something around that mark.
A bit more,
60 kilos.
Yeah.
So there's a 64 class or there's a 59 class. So then you would make a decision. Do you put extra weight on and go up to 64, or do you do that little cut and go underneath 59? So that's the decision that kind of people make. So when you're in that little limbo, you're like, do I go up or do I go down? But 9 times out of 10, there's a class that will fit you. That you can lift in, which is the beauty of weightlifting, really, that nobody's ever excluded.
That's freaking awesome. I didn't realise there were so many classes, because I know in other sports, like taekwondo,
the heaviest is like 76 plus or something like that, or whatever. That's classes they're super hate, whatever, women.
Yeah.
Where that's a middleweight in weightlifting, like 76 is a little girl. Like, do you know what I mean?
And weight shifts weight, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Mass moves mass. And you'll find that, I mean, with a super heavyweight men, you'll find that a lot of them will try and get as heavy as possible because the weights they're lifting is ridiculous. But then the beautiful thing about super heavyweights class, which I'm in, is every girl weighs something slightly different, yeah, and we all lift around the same. So everyone's just trying to find their optimal. Like, I'm quite light for a super heavyweight. I weigh around 126 and a half kilos. But then there's girls in my class that weigh 155 kilos.
No.
And there's girls in my class that weigh
like... How can that be fair that you're competing against someone of that weight?
Yeah, it's crazy, really. But that's the thing. It's like, because it's a limitless category, you have the entitlement to weigh whatever you want.
So I can imagine your diet is quite important.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about, obviously, for me as well, like, I naturally sit, when I'm not like weightlifting, around 100 kilos before I start weightlifting. So for me to obviously put that mass on to get up to 26, it was difficult, but you obviously got to do it properly. Yeah, you can sit and eat Mackeys all day, but it's not going to really help you when you're training. So it's about obviously fueling your body in the best way possible. So it's just about me eating good food and lots of it, really. Like,
yeah,
I try and keep it as simple as possible. Got a nutritionist that I work with. He says, you like my calories and my macros and stuff. And I just cook up some good food and just really eat it. Absolutely. Yeah, just don't make it complicated. A lot of people make it complicated, but as long as I'm getting, you know, my protein in for my repair, a lot of people think that, like, obviously you don't really need carbs, but you do, because the kind of training that we're doing, you need to replace all them glycogen stores, because we're just smashing our body day after day, and the more carbs you get in, the better recovery you've got, so the better you can do it the same again the next day. So yeah, it's seems complicated, but I try and keep it as simple as possible.
Yeah.
I don't like faff and complicated. Yeah, I don't like faff and complication.
How many calories would you be advised to take on board to maintain that weight?
Yeah, when I'm full-time training, I'm on about 3,300, so.
Oh, not actually
that much.
Yeah,
it's not that crazy, that's what I mean, because again, you just don't want to get, like, heavy for the sake of it. If you're going to put on mass, you want to put on lean mass. You don't want to just put on fat for just the sake of it, because
yeah,
then that obviously makes you move slower, and weightlifting is all about being fast and powerful, so, you know, it kind of contradicts. So I think people can get carried away and think, oh my god, you need to eat loads, but, you know, everyone's different and you got to kind of find out what works for you, you know what I mean?
I'm quite surprised with that intensive training. I'd imagine almost that you need to eat more, and you see these guys in the gym, like, carrying around their containers of food and...
Yeah, they probably taste crap as well, let's be real, because most of them, like, eat them proper. Like, all I'm saying is, no chicken died to not be seasoned, and
yeah,
there's a lot of chickens out there not being seasoned, and it's sad. So it's a new public order, really, that needs to be set. But do you know what I mean? But everyone thinks, oh, you got to eat like dry chicken and rice and loads of veg, and that's the only way you're going to get strong. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, do you know what
yeah,
I mean? Like, you've got to, like, you know, I try and vary my meats and stuff as well. I like a lot of fish as well. Like, try and eat a lot of salmon and bass and things like that and whatever, and try and, like, you know, vary it out. But yeah, I suppose if you start getting to a point where you're, you know, really, really fatigued from training and you eat up a bit of food, it's not going to kill you, do you know what I mean? But I just don't think overeating is the way forward.
I'm surprised at that for some reason. I guess the challenge really comes in when you're trying to fit into a smaller weight category, right? Then you've got that restriction, and that's when,
yeah,
I think things get tricky.
Oh, absolutely. Well, this is it. It's like, you know, I'm not going to speak, because I'm not speaking from experience, because I never have to cut weight. I'm one of the lucky ones that don't. But I know from obviously having friends on the team and stuff that this is where you want your body to be the strongest, but this is where you got to start cutting your food out.
Yeah.
And so that, yeah, I have to be really, really smart with how they cut it out, when they do it, and, like, obviously the levels and what they do cut their food out. And it's obviously, it's a real art, really, to be able to do it, to obviously them to, you know, one, make weight, but then be at the strongest they've been in their whole training cycle. And, you know, I do salute them. It's very hard to be able to do it. But, you know, if you do it right, then you'll see. And obviously they're all absolutely shredded on the day as well, and all showing off their abs and stuff. But
yeah,
abs are overrated, nobody needs those.
Exactly, who needs that? The athlete days are over for me.
Absolutely, jealous.
It's all about that lifestyle balance, right?
Absolutely.
Talking of weight, Now, you've been doing some pretty incredible work with Nike. Tell us about that drive for mass inclusion.
Yeah, man, it's just like, I just feel the need for everyone to be involved. I feel like sometimes the fitness industry feels like it's an exclusive place. It's not an exclusive place. Like, we all need to be into fitness to be healthy, to live a healthy life. And it's not about, you know, like you say, going to the Olympics or going to Commonwealth Games or going to high. It's about us being alive and living a nice, healthy life. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's about you being able to play with your grandkids when you're older and you're not sat there watching them play in the garden. You can actually go out there and play with them. And that's what it's about. And I think we forget. We're so focused on this aesthetic of what we want the fitness industry to look like that we forget that everybody needs to be involved in fitness. And I did some work with obviously the very famous Dina Ash-Smith, yeah. And Eartha, who is an Arsenal ladies, ex-Arsenal ladies player. And we was talking basically to the big hitters in sport about how we get girls more inclusive from a younger age, because we need to start teaching them from a younger age that physical literacy is important. And I think that, like, when you actually ask people, oh, what do you remember from primary school PE? A lot of people can't really tell you. Most I can remember is we did it in our shorts and your vest and pants if you forgot your kit, and you probably remember those gymnastics like benches that you balanced on, but apart from that, can't really remember primary school. And that's the time where they need to be playing the most sport they've ever played in their life. That's where they get their experiences. So we did a really good thing about how, you know, we need to get that holistic approach of getting girls involved so that they want to stay on and carry on doing it when they get into secondary school, and that you're not then getting these kids that are making excuses because they don't want to do it because of their period or whatever, because they just essentially don't want to get involved because they're not interested. But we failed them at an earlier level, and that's why they're not interested, you know. So for me, it's like, you know, Nike's really good at things like that and working on, you know, getting everybody involved. And, you know, obviously the reason why I signed with them is because they was the first ones to make a plus size range. You know, I'm a plus size athlete, I can't wear regular sizes in clothes. I mean, actually in Nike I float between the two, which is really nice. Like, I actually can get stuff from the regular range, but then sometimes I'm a plus size, and that's how it should be. Like, I'm a big girl, but I'm not massive. No. And, you know, there's a lot of girls out there that are standard size that are made to feel massive because they go into certain brands and the biggest size they can find on the shelf is a 14 or a 16. The average size in the UK is a size 16. Yeah. Why is that the highest size you can get in gym kit?
It's an instant exclusion.
Absolutely.
Of a complete somatotype.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's like, I always say as well, like, how do you expect somebody to start changing their lifestyle and getting their lifestyle together when they can't even get a nice gym kit to fit them to start off with? Like, you know, the hardest part of getting into a new gym is literally just getting in there and thinking, oh my god, everyone's looking at me. But at least if you can go in there and, you know, my outfit looks fly, you're gonna feel half a little bit better about going into a gym. When you've got to go in like men's long sleeve top that makes you look even bigger than you are, and some horrible scratchy leggings, because, and then you see all these girls in, you know, their little two pieces that match and they all look amazing, you never want to go back to the gym again. And then that's another person we've lost from getting a healthy lifestyle. And to me, it just makes no sense at all. Like, there is no one body that's healthy. Like, everybody's body's different.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we just need to be more, have more emphasis on that. And, you know, Nike's really good at letting me speak about that and have my voice in doing that, and, you know, trying to engage more and more girls to just be like, you know what, forget what everyone else thinks. I'm putting my leggings on, I'm putting my sports bra on, and I'm going to do what makes me happy. And I think that's really important.
So for those girls that are maybe looking at the gym, feeling uncomfortable stepping into that environment, what would you say to them to help them take that first step?
I would say, I mean, there's some amazing places now in London and beyond as well. I've got a lot of friends that are opening female-only gyms, and that's always a start. Like, if you're really feeling like you're not that confident, you're not that comfortable, go and get yourself involved in a community where you can get yourself feeling confident and comfortable. And a lot of those gyms are designed to do that, you know. They're designed to make you feel like you belong in a space and make you feel like you can keep turning up there and doing your thing. And I just think that, like, I always think that you're never going to please everybody on this planet.
Yeah.
As long as you please the people that are around you and care about you and that mean something to you, then that's all that matters. And I think everyone's so focused on what everyone else thinks, and we just need to forget about that and think about what makes me happy and what makes me, you know, be the person that I am and achieve what I want to achieve. And I think it's a very hard space to get to where you feel like you're confident and you feel like you don't care about what other people think, you know. Especially me, like, sometimes I get like messages in the comments and stuff and whatever that all people can think about is my weight. like they want to compare me to the bar, or oh, she lifted body weight, and I'm like, oh, get over yourself, like, you're just sad because you can't lift that. And I think that you need to get to a space where you, like, as long as the people around you and the people that you have love and care about you and you care about their opinions, and forget everybody else, like, what does that even mean? Like, what does other people's opinions mean? And you just got to do what makes you happy, and, you know, break into spaces that you didn't think you belonged in, and make them belong. Like, especially for me, I was in this position where, you know, I didn't look like the typical athlete. I didn't have the typical athlete body, and a lot of brands didn't want to work with me because it's a risk, you know. It's not what people perceive. But if they weren't going to give me spaces, I was going to go and make my own space. And soon, eventually, I started making my own space, and then all of a sudden, everyone was like, oh, that's the kind of thing that we want. So, you know, go and make your own space and go and do you, and eventually people will click on and realise it's the right thing.
Go and do you.
That's all you can do. Like, that, you're part of this earth to be you, not anybody else. Like,
how did you build up that confidence within yourself? Because you've definitely got something unique going on. Even with your look, I love it.
Thanks.
The red rules.
I've always been lucky in the fact that I had two very encouraging parents that was always like, you know, always pushed me to just be myself and not really care about everybody else and kind of just do me. And yeah, I've just always wanted to be different. Like, I hated the fact that people always wanted to look the same and do the same things, and I just wanted to be the one that stood out and be the one that was different. And I always tried different things, and I just thought it was cool, and like, and it's kind of just something I've ran with. Like, I just always like to be the one that everyone goes, oh my god, like, she literally does her own thing, and she doesn't really care about anybody else. And yeah, I think that's kind of where it came from. And like, I'm just not really bothered about anybody else. Like, just want to do me, like, yeah,
doing your thing. Freaking awesome. Do you believe in the term look good, feel good? Because a lot of what you've referenced is not turning up in scraggly clothes and feeling good in terms of installing that confidence. Would you say that's a big part of you?
Oh, absolutely. Like, that's part of my, like, routine in a competition morning, you know. It's get up, do my makeup, do my hair, you know. And I feel like it's got to a thing now where everyone's like, oh my god, what hairstyle is she gonna do next for next comp? Like, everyone's like, oh, what's she gonna do, like, what dye's gonna go in, or what colors or beads or whatever. And you know, I think that once you look in the mirror and you think, damn, I look good, then you feel that confidence to go out of there and execute whatever you need to do. And I feel like it's a bit like putting the suit on, isn't it? Like, when you go to a meeting or whatever, it's like a power move, isn't it? Like, yeah, you know, you look damn good, and you know you're about to do what you need to do. And I think that's so massively important. I think that's the first step in getting more confident, in just going, like, I look good for me. Like, it doesn't matter what everyone else looks like, I look good, and I know I look good. And then, you know, you can go on to do whatever you need to go and do. So yeah, I think look good, feel good is a perfect statement.
So when it comes to competition day, what's the vibe? What we're rocking? Are the nails important, or is it all about the hair?
Yeah, the whole thing. Like, I'll always probably get my nails done before I fly out to an international. I used to do the whole, like, GB thing and the whole GB flags and stuff and whatever, but there's only so many versions of red, white and blue you can do, I feel like. So now I just do some form of cool nails that, because especially as well, they always pan on us, like, putting our hands on the bar. So if your nails don't look great, that's not great at all.
Choose nails.
Yeah, it's not a vibe, is it?
It's not a look, is it?
It's not a vibe at all.
I think anybody listening that chooses their nails, here we go. Stop that.
Yeah, stop.
Right now.
Don't do that. Don't do that. It's not good for you. And then, yeah, it'll be like doing my hair or makeup. I'll probably get it in some form of like braids or cameras or something before I go. And then it's just about like styling it on the morning, getting the edges laid, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then obviously do the makeup after. Obviously keep it light, because obviously you sweat a lot when you weightlift.
Then you get spots. That's what I find. Have you got any tips?
Because you sweat, yeah. Well, I use a really good setting spray, which is the, not even like I'm plugging it, but it is just really good. Urban Decay All Nighter, banging, keeps your makeup on the whole time. And then I think, yeah, I always make sure when I get back from competition, I get it off. And then if I'm going out again, put a fresh load on, because you do, when it's like sweats in your pores and that, it's never great.
It's not the one, is
it? Yeah, but that's it. But once the hair's done, makeup's done, then you put your kit on, you got your tracksuit, do you know what I mean? Pack your bag and ready for weighing. And then obviously we go off to weigh in. We weigh in 2 hours before we compete. Yeah. And then obviously you have that time, which that time in between is really boring, because once you've weighed in, you kind of just chill, eat a little bit, do what you got to do. And then obviously once you get back in that warm-up area and start warming up, it's game time, and that's it. Once I get my hands on that bar, I kind of forget about everything, and I'm just about, right, how heavy can I lift today?
Go on. When it comes to mindset and motivation, we touched briefly on DOMS earlier, which for anyone tuning in that doesn't know what that means, that's the delayed onset of muscle soreness. There you go. That's from PE at school. I did
yes.
PE, but I did A-level PE.
That's
why I know
you
that.
You got the advanced knowledge.
I've got the advanced knowledge. Okay. Just in that field. Let's not talk about any of the other parts.
Yeah. That's good. Usually something.
That essentially means when your legs, when your muscles, your body are really, really sore and filled with lactic acid. So on those days where your body's just feeling knackered and broken, Ems, how do you get up and continue to strive for that ultimate performance?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm going to be completely real with you. Some days it ain't good. Like, no. You know, everyone thinks that athletes wake up and they're like, let's go and do another day of training. It's absolutely not like that at all. Like, some days you get up and you want to be anywhere but the gym. But then I always remember on one, how far I've come, and two, the things that I still want to achieve. I've still got my little tick box of things I want to tick off. And I know that if I don't go in and graft and I don't give 100%, that I'm not going to get those things. And sometimes it requires literally dragging yourself to the gym, a lot of caffeine, and, you know, getting yourself up. And sometimes them sessions where you just get them done,
yeah.
Like, they're not always amazing. You're not doing, like, fantastic snatches, but you're just getting the work in the bank. And you know that all that little work is going to add up in the end. And I think it's just about being kind to yourself, listening to your body and going, you know what, I'm not going to get anything spectacular out today, but I'm going to go and I'm going to do something.
Yeah.
And I think it's just realising that we are still human, even though we are like kind of, you know, they brand us as superhumans, which I can see why they do in some way, but we are still just human beings. And yeah, you just got to, you know, take the rough with the smooth, and sometimes it ain't all going to be fairies and you're going to lie on the floor and go, why the hell do I do this?
Yeah.
But that's real life. That's real life. It's not all, you know, flowers and daisies and roses, you know?
Yeah, absolutely savage. And in terms of your week as a weightlifter, do you kind of have the weekends off? What's your relationship like with Monday, the start of the week?
Yeah, Monday's...
I mean, we are on the Monday Mile podcast,
we are,
aren't we?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I can't not ask you.
You know what? Mondays ain't too bad, you know. I always have quite a relaxing Sunday. I like Sunday to be quite wholesome. Like, I go watch my best friend's daughter play basketball or, you know, things like that and whatever. And I really enjoy my Sundays of just, like, having, like, you know, real heartwarming stuff. So, actually, by Monday, I'm actually ready to go again. And I'm like, right, come on, this is a new week. I always see it as a new week to attack. And you never know what's going to happen. And you've got to go in and start as you mean to go on. So, I quite like Mondays until I obviously have to start snatching. But, you know. but Mondays ain't too bad. I'm on double sessions on a Monday at the moment. So, I always have to mentally get myself ready for that. But, yeah. Mondays ain't as bad as people make out.
No.
It's not when you do what you love, you know?
You've got to set the vibe and the intention, right? And
yeah.
You just roll with it. Do you have any life mottos or quotes that you live by that you can share with our listeners to maybe inspire them to take that first step into the gym? Let's go for the ladies.
I think I've got a couple. I think I've said one already. You can only ever be you, so just be you, you know. I think that's a really strong one, that you can't be anybody else. So just, you know, work on being yourself, achieving what your goals are. It doesn't matter if they seem small to somebody else or they seem massive to somebody else, they're your goals, so make sure you hit them. And obviously I always say, like, everything's impossible until it's made possible. Like, I proved that within weightlifting. You know, they laughed and said, no one's ever going to win an Olympic medal in your sport and blah blah blah, and I was like, no, damn, I'm gonna do that. Like, no, don't tell me I can't do it. Do you know what I mean? And all these things that they keep saying you can't do, you can do them. Like, it always starts with a plan. And I think my final one I'd leave you with is, don't be afraid to fail. I think that's the biggest
strong thing.
Everybody's like so caught up in what other people are gonna think if they fail. But when you fail is when you learn your biggest lessons. And I always say, if you give yourself 110% on something, no one can ever tell you anything, because you gave it all. And if it don't work, it don't work. Like, that's part of life.
Yeah.
Like, not everything's meant to go amazing. So I just always think, don't be afraid to fail. 100%.
And I think the key thing in that is being unattached to the outcome of that failure.
Absolutely.
Leave it behind.
Yeah, that's it. It's gone. Like, even with, like, things like training sessions and stuff and whatever, like, say you have an unfortunate event that week that means that you can't go to training on that day. Like, I've coached a young girl and she's always like, oh, I'll make it up. And I'm like, it's gone. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Like, if you're coming to me every week and you're missing a session because you're not getting your life together, then I'm going to have a word with you. But if something happens and the session's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
Just let it go. Don't try and make it up. Just be better. Be better for the next one.
Emily Campbell, what a source of humble inspiration.
Thank you very much.
So low-key and just so lovely to hear your journey. And I think the impact you're having on mass participation, for me, that's the biggest takeaway in this conversation.
Thank you very much.
And I've absolutely loved chatting to you.
That's it. Get to the gym, everyone.
Let's go. And on that, Emily, I believe you've got physio, and I think I've probably walked you further than you've walked all year.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
And I don't want it to be a deficit on your training.
Okay.
So I was thinking you could just carry me back.
Why not, mate?
What? There you go, 60 kilos of pure muscle. Emily Campbell, what an honour to have you on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. For those of you that are tuning into the audio, it drops at 1 a.m. every Monday morning. Make sure you give it a like and subscribe, and we will see you next week. Have an absolutely wicked week.